Joshua 4 is about remembering what God has done. Jess is going to read the chapter for us.
Joshua 4. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priest stood, and to carry them over with you, and put them down at the place where you stay tonight." So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, "Go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever." So the Israelites did as Joshua commanded them. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, as the Lord had told Joshua, and they carried them over with them to their camp, where they put them down. Joshua set up the 12 stones that had been in the middle of the Jordan at the spot where the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant had stood, and they are there to this day. Now the priests who carried the ark remained standing in the middle of the Jordan until everything the Lord had commanded Joshua was done by the people, just as Moses had directed Joshua. The people hurried over, and as soon as all of them had crossed, the ark of the Lord and the priests came to the other side while the people watched. The men of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh crossed over, armed in front of the Israelites, as Moses had directed them. About 40,000 armed for battle crossed over before the Lord to the plains of Jericho for war. That day the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they revered him all the days of his life, just as they had revered Moses. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Command the priests carrying the Ark of the Testimony to come up out of the Jordan." So Joshua commanded the priests, "Come up out of the Jordan." And the priests came up out of the river carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. No sooner had they set their feet on dry ground than the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and ran at the flood stage as before. On the 10th day of the first month, the people went up from the Jordan and camped at Gilgal on the eastern border of Jericho. And Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones they had taken out of the Jordan. He said to the Israelites, "In the future, when your descendants ask their fathers, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them, 'Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground, for the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan just what he had done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we had crossed over. He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God."
This was an event over 3,000 years ago. But when you move over a million people, there should be archaeological evidence. Trouble is, for 200 years, historians and archaeologists found no evidence, and they ridiculed the Bible. That is until a few years ago. In 2006, this was published in a respected journal. It stated, "Nearly every Friday for the past 28 years, Adam Zirtl gathered friends and students to map the hills and desert on the River Jordan's bank. Those in Zirtl's camp say that nearly all the events in the early books of the Old Testament are supported by material evidence on the ground. Now, I know we've watched a cartoon version, but we should realise this actually happened. Between 1 and 3 million people walked across where the day before it was a fast-flowing river, at least 100 feet wide and 10 feet deep. Now, I don't know who's watching, but I'm sure no one is over 10 feet tall. Imagine trying to get a million people across that river. Many of them were kids. We're told the waters miraculously stopped about 10 miles upstream when the priests, with the Ark of the Covenant, stepped into the River Jordan. It was the start of the Jewish New Year. They'd watched for years as their unbelieving parents had died in the desert. This was a new beginning. Imagine what they were all thinking. This is what I was born for. This is where I was meant to be. In the excitement, and also the inevitable fear of the battle ahead, God tells them through Joshua, take your eyes off the goal and look back. Make something to help you remember. Verse 7. The waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a reminder to the people of Israel forever. Joshua was telling them, remember what God has done. 2 weeks ago, I sent an email to some people. I asked them how they remember what God has done in their lives. Janet sent me this. It's about how they got pens in Malawi in Africa.
Biros from Heaven. Musa had prayed in the morning with his children, who needed notebooks and biros for school. He didn't have the money to buy them, so he prayed to his Heavenly Father and just simply asked him to provide for them. Lapson and I were on our way back from visiting a remote village, and I had several plastic bags with me, each containing a couple of notebooks and biros. As we travelled down the long dusty road, I just felt compelled to drop the bags out of the window as we passed some of the children on their way home from school. A few weeks later we met Musa and he told us his story. His two children had come home very excited on that particular day, each clutching a plastic bag containing two notebooks and two biros. Yes, they had been walking along the road as we passed by and were recipients of the bags I had dropped out of the window. How amazing was that?
Thanks, Janet. This chapter is about making a memorial. As I thought about memorials, I wondered if it's an old-fashioned thing. Well, in Bristol, protesters dumped a 120-year-old statue in the dock. And what did they replace it with? Another statue. So Bristol has its statues. Liverpool has its John Lennon Airport. And Leicester, well, you can't move without bumping into Nelson Mandela walks, parks, and even bus stops. So are memorials just for famous people? No, we all want to be remembered. Isn't that what a Facebook page is all about? So what's the point of these 12 big stones at Gilgal near the Jordan? It was intended to provoke questions in the days to come. When future generations saw them, they would ask, "What are those stones for?" without the Hull accent. The question would give an opportunity to teach children and grandchildren about the wonderful miracle God did when Israel entered the land. We all need reminders of what God has done. Otherwise, we forget. We do. It fades away. In answer to my email, Jenny told me what she remembers God doing in her life.
And then the time came when I felt led to go to an Alpha course at the church in Bath Street. After the fourth session, I came home. I had been greatly affected by what had been said that evening, and I sat down in the chair and I prayed. And I said, "God, I'm really sorry that I had gone away from you." And straight away, an answer came through my head, "But I never left you." And it was at that moment that I realised how much God did love me and would always love me.
Thanks, Jenny. Christians have two reminders called sacraments. They help us remember what God has done: baptism and the Lord's Supper. They are to help us remember what God has done in our lives. Why do we have these? To remind us of God's power and care for us. Phil encouraged us to share communion in our gardens together. We've also done it in Zoom meetings. Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." It's to remember how much Jesus did for us on the cross. It matters to remember. This is what Megan remembered God doing in her life.
After graduating from Loughborough, I was faced with choosing to go back into the corporate business world or step out in faith to do something I believed God was calling me into. Since starting Hashtag Me, which for those who don't know, aims to support and improve people's mental well-being and emotional resilience, God has led and guided me every step of the way, giving me confirmations, answering prayers, opening doors. On some occasions, it's literally felt like he's moved mountains. As many of you know, a startup is challenging in more ways than one and can cause a lot of strain financially, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. But God has protected me from many attacks and has always provided above and beyond what I could imagine.
After arriving in the Promised Land, immediately Joshua had a memorial service a mile from where they entered, 2 miles from the great city of Jericho. They must have looked at this massive, rich, fortified city and thought, "How are we going to take that?" Rahab knew God had already given it into their hands. Unexpectedly, the first activity in what we now call Israel was to look back together, to think what God had just done, to realise how powerful our Almighty God is, how much he cares for his people. There's some debate about how the stones were placed. There's no certain conclusion from the Bible. How would you have placed them? In a mound? In an artistic pattern? Another suggestion is a circle. Gilgal means circle. but we don't really know how they were placed. What we do know is what they were for, to remember the power and care of God. The stones were to pass this knowledge to their children. Verse 21. Joshua said to the Israelites, "In the future, when your descendants ask their parents, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them, 'Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground.'" Implicit in that verse I just read is a promise. There will be a future. There will be future generations. That's relevant for us now, isn't it? So how does it affect us 3,500 years later? Well, we should all have experiences of God to look back on. Perhaps at this point nothing comes to mind. If you know Jesus Christ as your God and your friend, he wants you to have these reminders in your life. Your own pile of stones. Remembrances of what he has done for you. That's what Joshua was told to do. We search for experiences of God, but we can fail to appreciate what he's already done in our lives. Sheila shared this in answer to my request, asking people to tell me how they remember what God has done for them.
From Sheila Dunning. During the evening of the 4th of January 2012, the strong gusty winds of the storm grew stronger and stronger, continuing through the night. I lay awake thinking of all the tall old trees surrounding us in our cottage at Hoathorpe Hall. Although I wasn't afraid for myself, I felt I should pray very earnestly for the protection of the whole estate. First thing in the morning, the winds had died away as the storm moved on. As I walked outside, I found a huge 200-year-old lime tree had fallen, missing the electric lamps on the path, the workshop with all the many tools and equipment, and more importantly, narrowly missing the large Calagas tank. I really know for sure that God's hand was protecting us that night.
Thank you, Sheila. It's funny, really. Everyone who answered my email, and there were three others too, told me what God had done. They obviously remembered, but how did they remember? Did you notice in the reading, Joshua went back to a place in the riverbed. He built a second secret memorial that would soon be covered with water. Secret times with God. I always think of Nathaniel at the beginning of John's Gospel. I've got Roger to read out Nathaniel's experience from John chapter 1. Let's ask him. "Hey, Nathaniel, when Jesus said, 'I saw you under the fig tree,' why did you say, 'You are the Son of God'? Leave everything and follow him."
Well, he knew me. He knew I was a straightforward guy, but he also knew something else, something private. When I was alone under the fig tree, I made a deal with God. I told no one about it. I said I would live for God if he would show me something special. Then along comes Philip and says he's seen the Messiah. I didn't believe Philip, but only God knew I'd made that deal. Only God knew what I'd done under the fig tree. Jesus said he was there, that I would see angels. He saw me under the fig tree.
Sir Nathaniel, you followed Jesus because of this private moment with God. I know there are other interpretations of this passage in John 1, but for me, this is the most persuasive. Do you have secret encounters with God? That's great. Remember them. Make something to bring them alive for you now. He's given you these precious experiences to get through times like these. Christmas and Easter should be memorials, but they've been hijacked by materialism. So like these people, get your own. Think. Write down. Remember how God has shown you his power and care. Your stones may be personal matters between you and God. Or there may be things you want to shout from the rooftops. Remembering matters. So do we take time to consider these stones? Or are we too busy? If we don't remember what God has done for us, we become like the churches mentioned at the beginning of Revelation. The Ephesian church had left their first love. They were told to remember from where they had fallen. The church in Sardis was told to wake up. It was a dead church. The solution? Remember what you have received. We do all want new experiences of God, but perhaps we need to look back and remember what God has already done. So I encourage you, take some time, think about the great things God has done for you. Find a way to keep bringing them to mind, a way that works for you. The people interviewed are no more special than you are to God. The main point about a memorial is that it helps you remember. It could be in your diary, or on a painted stone, in your garden. I'm sure you can find your own way, one that works for you. Whatever helps you remember. Mine is my password on my computer and a promise on my sun visor in the car. There's lots of ways to remember. Like the old Nike advert, just do it. Remember God's power and care for you. And then tell your children. Did you notice the people I asked to tell me how they remembered told me what they remember? There's one person who does understand me. Let's ask Maggie. Okay, Mags, tell us what you do to remember what God has done in your life.
Okay, well, I've kept like to keep a record in a file of what God's done, and I write down answers to prayer and things that he's done in our lives over the years.
Yeah.
So there's been quite a few files.
I know it started as one A4 file with pictures and writing and mementos stuck in.
Correct, yeah.
And it became about that thick. How many files do you think you've got to?
I don't know. It's
a lot.
Yes. Yes.
In fact, there were so many, more than four or five, I'm sure. And I got fed up taking them from the loft to the garage to the cupboard to the loft. What did I do?
You made me get rid of them.
That was one of my biggest mistakes. Thankfully, God and Maggie are forgiving. But I've encouraged her to start again and make up for my mistake. Let's pray. Father, thank you for all the great things you've done for us. Thank you for your love, your care, and particularly thank you for your forgiveness and for a forgiving wife. And we just ask you that you would help us to remember your power and your care for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.